But joining us now, somebody who's got a degree from the University of Oregon, a very active member in the OGA for a number of years, a master's in sports psychology from the University of Oregon. He is the president of the Golfing Machine. Joe Daniels joining us here this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Jason. Harold, how are you guys this morning?
We're good. Now, I'm wondering, with degrees from Cal and Oregon, when it comes to college football, are you wearing blue and gold or the lightning and thunder?
Well, actually, what's even more interesting is I went to UCI, who does not have a football team. So, my undergrad degree is from UCI, University of California, Irvine, and then my graduate degree is from Oregon. So it's really not very difficult at all, Jason. The Ducks, I'm a Duck fan.
Well, that's easy to discern there. As we, we're talking this morning about the book itself and The Golfing Machine, originally written by Homer Kelly, 1969. And, you know, when you were introduced to it, it's a different sort of thing, written more like a textbook, almost like a physics class or a science class. What was it about that book that took to you that made sense and has developed into the company today?
Well, that's a really wonderful question, and I think that for all of us who have struggled with our golf games over the years, the Golfing Machine offers some very sound, concrete answers. And although Mr. Kelly did not write the book kind of in layman's terms, let's say, if you open up the dictionary and look for some of the concept titles, they do make some sense. And his motivation was exactly that, Jason. He couldn't get someone to give him a concrete answer, so he decided he'd spend a couple of days, according to him, and find out what these concepts would be. And again, after 28 years, he wrote the first edition and published it in 1969. So it took him quite a while to, make it very concrete, make it very understandable. And although it's written textbook style, it is actually to be used more as a manual versus, reading it cover to cover and find out who done it at the end like a mystery. So, and that's one of the things he says. He says, golf shouldn't be a mystery because it's not that difficult. You just need to have a few concrete items. For example, in the book, he talks about the imperatives, the flat left wrist, the club head lagging behind that flat left wrist, and then keeping the whole golf club on plane. And he said, after that, you can do whatever you want to do and do it how you want to do it. So that's what attracted me to it, a number of choices that I had to make my golf game better are innumerable. And as a young amateur and a beginning professional, that's kind of where it led me. And, fortune shone on us when in 2002, Mrs. Kelly decided to sell the book, and we were the first people to, to own the rights outside the Kelly family.
Joe, for someone who got through college reading Cliff Notes, and which I don't apologize for at all. Thank God they were available to me, because I wouldn't be here today without. You mentioned very simply a flat left wrist and a forward lean of the shaft, but Homer Kelly's book is quite a bit more involved than that. Can you give us, and one thing that really strikes me is the source of power, and I get this from people all the time. Where do I get my power from in the golf swing? How am I going to hit that driver further? Can you help me there?
Well, sure. And, you're right. Cliff Notes saved a whole lot of people, hence why they are so popular still to this day. And, the Cliff Notes version in the Golfing Machine actually is available, but it's inside the book. And basically what he lines out is in chapter one, he talks about things being the same or samenesses. And so for people who want that kind of education, they can go in there and find it and just study those couple of chapters that he identifies. As for power, there's a couple of small issues there. And let's kind of start club head and ball. Most people are looking for power through effort, and effort as in physical effort, as in a lineman jumping off the line and trying to block somebody. That is not at all what the golf swing means as in power. So power has to be applied properly. And if you look at the relationship of the club head and the golf ball, if that golf ball misses the center of the club head or its sweet spot by a quarter of an inch, either direction, closer to you or further away from you, you have lost distance. And so power needs to be understood firstly from the fact that if you can line the sweet spot of the club face up to the center of the golf ball or its center lines, you're going to hit the golf ball more powerfully just by that piece. Then as you work up to the hands, the flat left wrist becomes imperative, because if that golf club head is moving consistently around the left wrist, and a left wrist that is not bending or arching, as we see most amateurs unfortunately have that problem, thinking that's club head speed, but if they allow that left wrist to stay flat, then they can line up the club face and, or club head and ball more accurately more often, and that will just by that one piece give them more power, or what they think is more distance, and it truly is. And then as you look, come back up the body further into the arms and to the shoulders, Mr. Kelly explains in Chapter 6 this thing called the power package, which is the arms, hands, and club. And when that piece is understood, then you can add in the pivot, and the pivot just transports that power package. And again, it's, you've heard lots of guys talk about effortless power. Well, this is truly what they're talking about. The fact that the pivot can transport the power package smoothly down the face of the plane, delivering that club head into the golf ball with that sweet spot right behind the ball itself, and create a powerful motion. And it doesn't feel powerful. It feels very smooth. So I think maybe in a roundabout way, I've come to the answer for which you were searching.
Yeah, you have, Joe. And I wanted to clarify one thing. When you refer to pivot, what do you mean by that?
Pivot for the golfing machine is actually the piece of the golf stroke that turns the shoulders. So we start with the pivot with the feet, knees, hips, and the shoulders have two jobs. They're part of that pivot, and they're also part of the power package. And so as the pivot moves, the feet, knees, hips, and shoulders, then the power package is also moved. And so it ends up being like a rotating object or a rotating top. And as we all know, the top has a very small bottom, hence our feet, and the top part of the top being flat and bigger, hence our shoulders, and spinning around that point of your feet so that those shoulders can be transported properly.
Joe Daniels, our guest here, president of the Golfing Machine, thegolfmachine.com. You can get all the information. And, you know, with a text written in 1969, now I think a lot of people might be thinking, well, golf has changed so much with equipment and technology. And maybe explain how much the principles of what Homer Kelly first wrote are still applicable despite whatever technological advances have been made in the game.
Jason, thanks. That's a wonderful, wonderful question, and I get asked a lot. And fact of the matter is that, you know, geometry over the years hasn't changed since, you know, Pythagoras and all of those people introduced us to it, nor has basic physics. So, you know, we don't talk about physics in a way of you have to know mathematical functions. We talk about physics from just a way that things are moved or must be moved. And so the geometry and physics are always going to be part of a golf motion. So we have stationary feet, we have movable legs and hips and a movable trunk, and that all comes into the physics part. The geometry is, you know, the swing is basically a circle. And so what technology has done has given us lighter club shafts, lighter club heads, which allows someone who has normal strength to swing the golf club faster, because if it's lighter, longer, you've got a longer radius, you can swing it faster because it's lighter, it's got more mass, and so we're benefiting from that technology, and it doesn't affect how the geometry or physics are applied. So clarification, yeah, the book was published in 69 the first time, The last edition came out in 2006, and so we have seven editions that Mr. Kelly was responsible for, but before his death in 83, he wasn't able to finish the seventh edition, so we took that on as a project after purchasing the company. So all seven editions are from Mr. Kelly.
You can find out more information on how to acquire it at thegolfingmachine.com. Joe Daniels, we appreciate your time this morning, and thank you so much.
Yeah, Jason and Harold, you're very welcome. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks so much, Joe. Joe Daniels, thegolfingmachine.com.